Tango Tango Papa 1730, May 3rd, 2013.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this evening from Weaver, Iowa. I think that's how it's pronounced, W-E-V-E-R. So it's kind of an unusual spelling for the word Weaver, but it's probably named after someone, W-E-V-E-R. So in any case, I've been kind of staying very busy the past several days. And I'm at this point, I'm bumping up kind of against my logbook. I'm about to sneeze. There we go. I started talking, and all of a sudden, you know, I got this feeling that I was going to sneeze. So, but anyway, what ended up happening, I told him I wanted to be home by the 7th for my time off. And so it looks like they're going to get me home a bit early. Today's the 3rd, you know, and then the load that I have delivers in Bentonville, Arkansas, anytime tomorrow, the 4th. And so I should get home, the way it's going to work out, I'll get home probably sometime after midnight, Saturday night. So actually it would be early Sunday morning whenever I get home, because of the way my hours have worked out. As I say, right now I'm kind of bumping up, I've been kind of bumping up against the logbook, not quite, but close enough, and I really will bump up against it tomorrow by the time I make it to Bentonville. So if I time it so that I get there about midnight, and it's a drop and hook, so it's not a problem. If I get there right around midnight, and then I'm able to drop the empty or the loaded trailer and pick up an empty trailer, and then it's not, you know, it's maybe 30 miles home. If everything works right, should be able to do that. Now, if I were to get, let's say I got to Bentonville before that, too much before that, I wouldn't be able to drive again until after midnight. So if, you know, I'm not going to be able to leave here. I'm at this kind of a little fuel stop out in the middle of nowhere, along US Highway 61, here in, Iowa. It's kind of southeastern Iowa. If I were, let's say I got to Bentonville sometime tomorrow, you know, like late in the afternoon, then I would be screwed. I'd have to take a 10-hour break somewhere before I could drive on home. So if I leave here, I figure I'll leave here probably around 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, Saturday afternoon, and that should give me enough time to, you know, I should be getting to Bentonville probably somewhere around midnight, or depending. Somewhere in that area, and then that'll, as I say, then once the clock flips over, I get more hours, and then I've got enough time to make it home and still be within the 14-hour window. So, but, you know, it'll work. I can make it work. I do believe I'll make it work, so got to do what I have to do. So it's today, very rainy. It's been raining, I guess around here, it's been raining all day, and it's supposed to rain all day tomorrow. And it's coming down pretty good. You know, it's kind of heavier and lighter at times, but it's, you know, it's steadily coming down pretty much. And at home, it snowed. They got snow last night. I don't know if it's supposed to snow again. I You know, but there was snow. I guess, you know, depending on where you were at, you know, upwards of like half an inch or more, three quarters of an inch, maybe even an inch. Now, at home, now I don't know how much, you know, because a lot of it probably melted, but whenever I looked at my camera that's pointed outside early this morning, there you could see, you know, that some things were coated with snow, with a kind of a thin layer of snow. And then, kind of as the morning wore on a little bit, even though it never really warmed up much, it was raining. What snow there was kind of took, I don't know, it took 2 or 3 hours and it was all melted. And so I don't know if it's going to do that again. But that they were saying that really broke a record because it's never snowed in May. In at least in Northwest Arkansas, it's never done that before. So we know that it can. Now, I've seen it snow in April before, and I've seen cold weather in May before. Not freezing. That's also probably, you know, setting a new record, but this is the first time it's ever snowed. Now, it kind of just stuck on the grass. It didn't... the roads didn't, you know, it didn't accumulate anywhere on roadways or anything like that. And as I say, it melted off of the grass pretty quick. So, but now, you know, now it's raining and it's still going to be kind of chilly and sounds like it's going to be, you know, there's a chance of rain sort of continuing. So, you know, it's the weather, and the weather, you know, it just does whatever it does, and, you know, we think it's unusual, but if you look at how long the Earth has been here, you know, we're talking billions of years, and we as human beings, if you compare that to the amount of time we've been here, we're like a little flash in a pan, and if you blink, you're not going to see it. You know, if you're the Earth, you're not even going to notice it. You know, the length of time I'm talking about. You know, our lifespans. So, you know, we haven't been recording temperatures and the weather for that long, and so I'm sure it snowed in May before. You know, before we were there, it probably, I'm sure it did at some point. So, it may have snowed in June, who knows? But at least now we know that it can snow in May. But I'd say it seems like we're having a kind of a cold, wet spring. You know, I guess depending on where you're at. But it's the weather. And the weather does what the weather does. And, if it's cold and wet, you stay indoors and keep yourself warm. And if it's hot, you find some place to stay cool. So, so anyway, should make it home, as I say, sometime late Sunday evening. Or I'm sorry, late Saturday evening or early Sunday morning, actually. And then take several days off and kind of... get away from the truck a little bit, which that's, you know, it's about time to get away from the truck. And, you know, because especially, I don't know, this past several days especially, they've been keeping me pretty busy, about as busy as I want to be or even busier than I'd actually like to be. And so that it's always kind of good to get away from it because it, you know, I've kind of especially the past week, I've not really had much of an opportunity to just sleep and wake up on my own. I've had to, every morning I've had to set an alarm, and I could have easily probably slept at least 2 or 3 hours more than what I, than, you know, beyond the alarm. So now tomorrow, you know, once I go to bed this evening, I don't have to set an alarm because I'm not going to leave here till probably about 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, Saturday afternoon. So I will just not set an alarm and plan on just sleeping until I wake up. Just kind of deliberately sleeping in. So, but in any case, I've, you know, I guess the news probably continues to be crazy, and I've kind of not, you know, I'm still kind of deliberately staying away from it. And it's going to get worse. It, you know, if it's not going to get any better, it is going to get worse, and you can count on it getting worse. You know, I've been listening, you know, kind of the second time through. Excuse me. I've been kind of listening the second time through the audiobook version of King James Bible that I got from Audible. And it, you know, now I'm in the New Testament again. And as I've said before, listening to that, it's rather amazing. Because there's some of the stuff, obviously, I've heard before, but then some of the stuff, even listening to it the first time through, you know, I listened to it, but it's like somehow some of this stuff is really kind of jumping out at me. And in the ninth book of Romans, there's a section there towards the end of it. There's a section there that really is kind of talking about you know, it sort of doesn't really mention it, but it kind of talks about, you know, free will, or, you know, and it doesn't really kind of, it relates to free will more than anything else. It sort of relates to it, and it basically spells out that everyone on this, you know, this earth, everyone and everyone on it, and I mean everyone on it, whether, you know, you think you're a good person or a bad person, or whoever you are or whatever you do, you're not your own person. You think you are. You know, we all like to think that we are, but you're not. And, you know, so it was giving the example of Pharaoh, you know, God hardening Pharaoh's heart. You know, and God, you know, and I don't have the wording right here in front of me, but basically it states that God creates, you know, some people are good and some people are evil, and it's for His purposes. You know, it's kind of to put, you know, if you have a decent person, it's sort of to put them to the test. And it pretty much just spells it out, and He's God. So God can do whatever He does, and that's that. You know, don't like it, too bad for you. Now, it also, it's interesting because it also kind of, and I don't know, I'm sure I heard the part before, but never really, you know, it just kind of stuck out at me today, and it's not in, I don't know if it was in Romans, you know, because I'm continuing to listen to it, but there's this portion that is talking about, you know, like if you have a tree, you know, and you know, like a limb comes off, a limb gets chopped off or knocked off. You know, and it was talking about, I guess, an olive tree. That's what it was talking about. You can graft on a limb from another tree, and I guess it, at least this suggested that you could do that. Now, I don't know if you can actually do that or not. I don't know anything about olive trees. You know, it's talking about olive trees and maybe mustard. It maybe mentions mustard trees, but. It's a sort of a parable. It's talking about, you know, you have, it's talking about basically, you know, the Jews and then the Gentiles, you know, and the Jews, of course, were God's chosen people. He sort of chose them to, basically, it's this kind of a story of civilization. To sort of, you know, to he chose those people to sort of, you know, create a community of people that, you know, he could kind of give them rules and get them to live by rules and so on and so forth, and, you know, create a community of better people for, you know, and I'm putting it into my language. So, but what it's saying is that you don't, if you don't have to be Jewish, you can be a Christian, or you can be a Gentile, so-called Gentile. You're not Jewish, but, so in other words, what it's talking about, you know, somebody, you know, and it also talks about predestination, you know, if you're predestined to find your creator. But it also sort of mentions, and it opens the possibility, the very real possibility, that someone that wasn't meant, you know, that wasn't predestined to find their creator could, you know, and that's what it's talking about, grafting, you know, grafting the limb onto a tree, the tree of life. And so that is possible. So it goes into this extensive discussion. And as I say, I know I listened to it before, but it just really, more of it kind of stuck out at me. Especially, you know, Romans, and then beyond that, I don't remember all the names of the books that follow that. But I think a lot of that is written by Paul, the Apostle Paul. And it's a great discussion, you know, because he really explains things, and he goes into lots of details, and, you know, it's really detailed reasoning, because he's kind of reasoning as he writes it, and it's really, really quite good. The Bible, as I've said before, it's an amazing book, and if you just, you know, you don't necessarily want to take those stories literally. That's where people get into trouble, because, you know, they're parables and so on and so forth. You can't take it literally, because if you do, you won't understand it. What you need to do with it, as I've said before, what you need to do with it is to simply, like in my case, I'm listening to it, listening to the audiobook version, and you just kind of listen to it. Let it go in one ear and out the other, and if anything sticks, then it sticks. And then, you know, it. But the idea is that it will it can awaken something within you. And that's what you, that's the whole point. You don't want to study it. You don't want to try to memorize it and remember this, or, you know, memorize this verse and memorize that verse, and so on and so forth, and take little bits and pieces of it, like preachers preach about this or that, and they've just, you know, they got little tiny pieces, and they've got their certain favorite little pieces, and then there's other little pieces that never get mentioned, you know, because they, you know, they've, for whatever reason, they've decided that those are no good, and they just kind of, you know, out of sight, out of mind. And most, you know, you know, unless you listen to it or read it yourself, you'd never know it, never know about those things. And those things are, oftentimes, they're very important. So, but the idea is, if you kind of just, you know, listen to it or read it, but it's easier to listen to, really. There's a real potential that it can awaken something within you. And then you can, you know, it's interesting because you can listen to it, and then all of a sudden, it, you know, ha-ha, the light goes off. The bell rings. And you see something. And then you, all of a sudden, you understand what's being said. You understand the parable, so on and so forth. And, as I've said before, language is a type of algebra. And words can have multiple meanings. And so, you know, if you do mathematical algebra, you can kind of figure out, well, what's the value of A or what's the value of B, sort of depending on the relationship of the equation, you know, of the, you know, how, you know, you'd A over B times C, so on and so forth. And you can figure out the value of these different symbols. And so words really are, you know, sentences. It's really a kind of a mathematics or an algebra, because you can listen to a sentence or read a paragraph and read an entire story and kind of usually figure out the meaning. You know, you run across a word and you sort of look at the context the word is in, and you can usually figure out the meaning. And that's partly what is kind of happening if you're able to listen through the Bible. You know, many of these principles are already written in our hearts. You know, we may not be aware of them. You know, and oftentimes we're not. But the principles are already there. You know, we're just separated. We're separated from it. And so if you really want to know, if you really want to know the truth, you really want to find your Creator, you want to find God, then, you know, if you, you know, and you're really sincere about it, you can understand these things. You know, and you don't have to have me telling you what they mean or some preacher telling you what they mean. You can understand these things for yourself. And that's really what you have to do. You can't take my understanding and you know, just assume that you have understanding. It doesn't work that way. You've got to do it yourself. You have to want it yourself. You have to find it yourself. And, you know, the beauty of that, of course, is once you find something, once you see something, once you have that aha moment, then it's yours. And no one gave it to you. No one can take it away from you. It's yours. So, but in any case, I'm really enjoying listening to that. You know, it's amazing. Really, that is an incredible, incredible book. Can't say enough good things about that. And it's if I had nothing else to listen to, I could easily just spend all my time listening to that. Really could. And really enjoying, you know, really be able to enjoy it. So in any case, as I mentioned, you know, the stuff is going on in the news, and I see, you know, because I get all these emails, and a lot of times, you know, I do go ahead and read the headlines, and, you know, it's just getting crazier and crazier, and it's predictable. But what you have to remember is that, you know, a lot of the people are all upset about, you know, Obama and the Republicans and the politicians and so on and so forth. Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid, and they did this and they did that and so on and so forth. What you have to realize is that those people, every single one of them, whether, and they don't realize it, they're basically sort of instruments of God. You know, if you have a furnace, if you sort of look at the earth as a furnace, or your life as a furnace, then you have to have fire. You have to have all these different elements in order to produce the, you know, produce the results you're after. You know, if you have a factory, then you have different tools that you use to produce the results. And, you know, so if, you know, Pharaoh was an instrument in ancient Israel, sort of forging, you know, forging ancient Israel, so on and so forth. And so today's politicians fall into the same category. Of course, they don't realize it. They think that the illusion is that you're your own person. You know, and if you kind of become converted to evil and, you know, and you become evil all the way through, then it was meant to be. God created you that way, whether you like it or not. And he creates who he creates. You know, he exalts who he exalts, and he destroys who he destroys. And he's God. And he can do that. And so even if you have someone, you know, pick someone that's wicked, that's just really, really wicked all the way through. You know, like you think of the worst child molester, or you think of, you know, the worst example of a politician. Of course, you know, people always, you know, like Adolf Hitler's probably, people consider him to be just the, you know, just the most terrible thing that you could have. They're bad, but do not make the mistake of resenting them. Because if you resent any person, place, or thing for any reason, doesn't matter, the reason doesn't matter. If you fall into the trap, if you make the mistake of resenting, that's a sin. That's the sin. Why would you resent? The only reason you resent, you think it's, you know, some kind of protection or whatever. But beyond that, you're playing God in your own mind. And that is the downfall of human beings. It's right in the book of Genesis. Men want to be as gods. You know, we want to play God in our own mind. We have this proclivity. We come into this world wanting to play God in our own minds. And then we, you know, of course, then we become proud of it. Proud of what it turns us into. So resenting anything. Evil, it doesn't matter what it is. It does not matter what it is. You resent any kind of injustice, any person, place, or thing for any reason whatsoever, that's a mistake. That's what you have to be, get to the point where you can see what that resentment is, the wrong reaction. And if you can really understand what it is, and as I've said many times, the best description I can come up with is, you know, as if you're God in your own mind, and you know you're hurling the metal thunderbolts as if your thoughts could just strike someone dead. And so if you can understand what that is, you know, because I can talk around it, but I can't really tell you what it is, but you have to figure out what it is yourself, and you can if you really want to. You can figure it out. Then if you can let go of that and learn not to have that reaction, and beyond that, look for it. If your conscience comes up to you, you know, kind of all of a sudden, it can, you know, all of a sudden you find yourself thinking about something you haven't thought of for years, and you know, and you realize you resent, that you resented, all you have to do is admit it. Just admit it. Yeah, I resented. You just see it, and it goes, you know, maybe you feel a little funny or whatever, and a little awkward, and it just kind of goes away. And, you know, if you deal with it properly, it just sort of goes away, and then that's it. But if you protect it, if you start making excuses, people think that somehow they're going to turn resentment into something positive. You can't. It's not possible. You can't turn it into a positive. It's not possible. So resentment is a terrible mistake. So if you can learn to see what it is, know what it is, and then let go of it, things turn around, you know, 180 degrees. Then situations that would have caused you to resent before, you know, and you'd have been all stressed out about it and so on and so forth, those same situations sort of, you don't even, almost don't even notice them anymore. It's really quite a remarkable thing that happens. But we do seem to be, you know, in the cycle that we're in right now, things do seem to be getting kind of worse. And so in this sort of downward spiral that we find ourselves in, as a world, as a country, as a world, the pressures are going to become greater and greater and greater. What causes suffering is when you react the wrong way. That's what causes you to suffer. If you react the wrong, you react to, you know, something happens to you, some injustice, you react to it the wrong way, you resent it, that's what leads to suffering. That's what makes you suffer. And so if you can learn to recognize resentment for what it is and let go of it, learn not to have that reaction, then you cannot be made to suffer. Now, somebody can stick you with a needle or something, and it's still going to hurt. I'm not talking about that kind of suffering. I'm talking about the suffering I'm talking about is sort of the type of suffering that I used to feel when I was separated from my Creator, separated by, you know, by my own resentment. You know, and then you feel empty and you don't know what to do and so on and so forth. And that's the worst kind of suffering that I can think of all, is, you know, that sort of empty feeling. And so but suffering, that's really the only thing that leads to suffering is, you know, you resent and then you try to be proud of it and you start, you know, making all kinds of excuses and so on and so forth, and you go from bad to worse to worse. Life, you know, it morphs into a living hell. And what I'm saying, basically, is that you can live the same life, same type of life, probably the same people, same kinds of environments. If you learn to react the right, or not react in the wrong way, learn not to react resentfully, you're still living the same life, and you still have the same people, same pressures, so on and so forth. And it completely changes. You know, it kind of turns into a joy. You know, I might not be doing a very good job of explaining it, but it really all revolves around how you react. And if someone is able to irritate you, if a person, place, or thing is able to irritate you, then you have resentments that you're not looking at. Let's say your mother is able to, you know, kind of push your button and irritate you. Really get, you know, really get your goat, really get you irritated. Or your father, or your wife, or your child. That's evidence right there that you resent them. You resent something. You know, chances are you resent them, but, you know, it could also be that you resent other elements that were present. In a situation like where you really resented something. Because, you know, you get in this thing where, you know, you can have... I've given the example before, you know, let's say that a woman is raped in the back of a car. You know, then the model of car, you know, can, you know, and she really gets upset with the rapist. Then the model of car can trigger the, you know, trigger it all over again. The color of the car, the, you know, pick a color. If, let's say the color is blue, then she sees a blue car or even the color blue, and that can trigger the reaction all over again. You know, so you can, any, you know, let's say that someone robs a bank, you know, that you have a bank robber, and you know, the people are traumatized by it, you know, because they resent it, resent the situation, you know, someone in a convenience store, you know, they resent the situation, and then they end up with the post-traumatic stress disorder. Well, that's all that is. They resented, they got upset with the situation, they resented the situation, they resented the robber or whatever it was, and then all of a sudden they can no longer function. Everything reminds, you know, that every element that was present there in that situation reminds them of the upset, and they get upset all over again. You know, people actually can get to the point where they can't even leave their houses anymore. You know, what kind of a life would that be? So ideally, you want to be in the world, be able to live in the world and interact with the world and so on and so forth, but not be forced, not be enslaved to take your identity from the world. So you can be in the world, but not of it. But that's not something that you can, you know, you hear that, and you hear a preacher say, you be in the world, but not of it. And then you can take that and not really understand, you know, you think you understand what the preacher's saying. You know, well, don't be worldly and... You know, and you know, so on and so forth. And we've all probably, you know, at least I've known people that, you know, they think they know what that means. You don't want to be worldly and so on and so forth. And then they take that to an extreme, you know, where they're wearing funky clothes and, you know, to sort of show them, you know, show the world that they're religious. And that's not what it means at all. It's about identity. Where do you get your identity from? And if you're a slave, you're of the world. You're taking your identity from the world. Whether you like it or not, you're a slave. And so if you can learn not to resent, not to have that reaction, if you can see what resentment is and learn not to have that reaction, then you're getting your identity from a different place. And then you can interact with people. You can interact with the world as, you know, all that you want to, and not be contaminated by it. You know, kind of putting it in a different language, when you resent person, place, or thing, you become contaminated. Your identity literally becomes contaminated. You think, you know, people think that resentment is some sort of protection. It's not. It's you become contaminated. You know, and you let's say you have buried resentment. Oh, I don't hate my parents, so on and so forth. You have buried resentment. You think you're being aware and you're trying to not react and so on and so forth. But if you've got buried resentment, you're still becoming contaminated. You still got to, you know, if you were in a boat, you'd have holes in the floor. The boat's still taking on water. That's another analogy. Resentment's kind of like having a hole in your boat, you know, and the boat's sinking. You can't bail the water out fast enough. So you plug the holes by understanding what resentment is, but you got to want to understand what it is. And so, as the world becomes more insane, you're going to be put to an ever greater test. If there are holes in your boat, the pressure of the water is going to be greater. You know, it's going to become greater and greater and greater. And so as the pressure increases, your identity is going to become more and more and more contaminated. And there's not going to be a damn thing you can do to stop it, as long as you resent. Mention it once in a while. Go to my website, truckertompodcast.com. Up at the top, there's a link that says meditation. Click on that link. There are about, I don't know, four files on there. Three of them are by Roy Masters. Give that meditation a try. I can't promise it'll help everybody, but it, you know, I do believe that it will help most people. And if you find that it helps you, then by all means, continue using it. Don't just do it once and think, oh, that's fine and I feel better, and then go about your merry business. You have to continue with it. You need to continue with it. But in, you know, you have to really want to find your creator. You have to have the want to. And I can't, that's kind of a mystery. You know, maybe the Bible says some of us are predestined, but then some of us aren't. And it kind of makes that clear, that some of us are predestined, but some of us aren't. And so it's kind of a mystery as to, you know, how that works. But you have to want to find your creator. You have to have the desire to find him. To want the right identity. Some people seem to be quite happy, even though they might complain about it, they seem to be quite happy with the identity that comes from the world. But, you know, I never was. For whatever reason, you know, I never was. I was always very unhappy with that. And the suffering that unhappiness, it caused me to wake up. Caused me to continue to look. Caused me to continue to seek. And thank God it did. So therefore, everything that caused me to suffer turned out to be good. It's kind of an interesting thing. It's interesting the way that works. So everything that happens, everything that's already happened and everything that's going to happen in the future is ultimately good. Everything on this world, every person in this world, whether they're good or bad or whatever, indifferent, every single atom, every single particle, belongs to the Creator. Is animated by the Creator. So give that meditation a try. As I say, I can't promise it will help everyone, but it, you know, I do believe that it will help most people. And continue with it. That is not, you know, the meditation itself is not going to cure you of anything. What that does, that is, it helps you to learn how to come out of your thoughts, sort of hold yourself apart from your thoughts. We as human beings, whatever we are, one of the things that we have this point of awareness. It's kind of a mysterious thing, but it's a sort of a point of awareness. And if you practice that meditation properly, you can prove to yourself that you the observer, that point of awareness, you are not your thoughts. We think we're our thoughts. You know, we have this belief that we're our thoughts. We're not our thoughts. Our thoughts are separate. And you can actually bring your attention out of your thoughts and into the moment. So we are not our thoughts. And that brings you, you practice that meditation, that brings you into the present moment. And the present moment is where God is, and then that gives you the opportunity to sort of come face to face with the reality you've been running from all your life. And of course, most of us were sort of tricked into running from it, tricked into being separated from it. But we, you know, if we didn't know what we were missing, you know, as I've said before, you know, you take Adam, like Adam and Eve were created perfectly. You know, they were perfect. They had, you know, Adam had this perfect relationship with God, with his creator, right up front, right from, you know, he's created that way. And he lost it. We, the offspring of Adam and Eve, have the opportunity to be saved from that, to, you know, kind of be saved from the a state of misery and suffering, separation, this state of separation from that identity. We have the opportunity to be brought back, you know, to be saved from that, you know, that state, and come back to the right identity. To the right source of identity. You know, when you're, if you're healthy, you really don't know that you're healthy. You just, you know, you just feel whatever, you feel okay or whatever, and you're healthy. But then if you lose your health, if you really, you know, you come down with something, some dread disease, you really lose your health, then you understand that, you know, what health was, and, you know, and then you understand that you lost something. So, you know, kind of being born in sin, we're sort of born into a sort of a, you know, depending, you know, it's almost, you could think of it as a state of suffering or a sort of a state of agony. Kind of a state of separation. we can be brought, you know, we can be saved and come back to that. You don't realize what, you know, what these things are, you know, until they're missing. So anyway, give that meditation a try. You can download the files, listen to them on your computer, put them on your iPod, burn them to CDs, whatever. But give it a try. You know, and then ideally, you after a bit, you learn to kind of do that on your own. Do that meditation on your own. And you know, it's, as I say, it's not the cure in and of itself, but it can bring you to a state of a state of being objective, a state of objectivity. It can bring you to that, and then you can. You know, then you have the opportunity, you know, once you're in the present moment, that's where you can find resolution to these, you know, to these problems. That's where you can, you know, in the present moment, if you can learn to stay in the present moment, that's where God is, that's where your Creator is. So anyway, I think I'm going to go ahead and cut this off. We're 57 minutes and 44 seconds. So see if I can get this uploaded and get to bed and see how long I'm able to sleep. So anyway, hope everyone has had a great week. Hope you have a great weekend, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.